Good morning, gamers. Welcome to Morning Martlet, your trusted source for the latest in gaming news. Grab your morning potion and let's level up your day. As per Jason Schreier from Bloomberg, Overwatch 2 will no longer have PvE content. The recent decision by Blizzard Entertainment to decouple the heroes from the paid battle pass in Overwatch 2 has sparked discussions about the game's future success. Employees at Blizzard usually receive bonus checks twice a year based on the financial performance of their products, but Overwatch 2 team members recently learned that they would receive 0% of their bonus targets due to the game's poor financial performance in the previous year. This change in the bonus policy reflects a broader shift within Blizzard, where bonuses are now tied to the performance of specific franchises rather than the overall company performance. This change, enacted in 2023, was the result of a long-standing disagreement between Blizzard and its parent company, Activision Blizzard. While Blizzard's leadership advocated for company-wide profit sharing to encourage experimentation with new ideas, Activision's leadership, led by former CEO Bobby Kotick, argued that bonuses should be based on the success of individual products. This tension between Blizzard and Activision ultimately contributed to a deterioration in their relationship, culminating in Blizzard's acquisition by Microsoft for $69 billion. The new president of Blizzard, Johanna Ferries, who previously worked at Activision, is reviewing the profit-sharing plan and other policies as she settles into her role. The lack of bonus payout for Overwatch 2 developers underscores the challenges facing the sequel, which received mixed reviews upon its release in 2022. Originally pitched with a focus on PvE content, Overwatch 2 has since scaled back on that vision, reflecting uncertainties about its future direction and success. The release of Dragon's Dogma 2 on PC has been met with significant success, but it has also ignited a heated debate regarding the inclusion of microtransactions. The game offers 21 microtransactions on its day one release, ranging from 0.99 to $4.99. These microtransactions provide various in-game advantages, such as an explorer's camping kit, jail keys for escaping, port crystal warp location markers, and wake stones for restoring the dead to life. The controversy surrounding these microtransactions stems not only from their sheer number, but also from how they impact gameplay. Some players argue that these microtransactions undermine the intended challenge of certain aspects of the game, making them easier or less frustrating. For example, players have noted that microtransactions facilitate fast travel, which is restricted in Dragon's Dogma 2. The game requires expensive and rare fairy stones for teleportation, but players can purchase port crystals, a component of fast travel, as microtransactions. Director Hideaki Itsunyo addressed the team's decision to limit fast travel, emphasizing the importance of players experiencing the world through normal travel. Itsunyo suggested that travel should be enjoyable and not perceived as tedious. He highlighted the importance of strategically placing discoveries and creating diverse enemy encounters to enhance the travel experience. The world's first Dragon Ball-themed theme park is set to be constructed in Saudi Arabia, offering fans the opportunity to experience the adventures of Goku and his companions firsthand. Spanning an impressive 500,000 square meters, the park will consist of 7 themed lands, inspired by different aspects of the Dragon Ball universe. Visitors can expect to encounter iconic landmarks from the series, including Kame House, Capsule Corporation, and Beerus's Planet. With more than 30 themed rides spread across the lands and 5 major attractions, guests will have plenty of opportunities to immerse themselves in the Dragon Ball world. Among the highlights is a towering 70-meter-high Shenron roller coaster, sure to provide an exhilarating experience for thrill-seekers. The announcement of the theme park coincides with the upcoming 40th anniversary of the original Dragon Ball manga, highlighting the enduring popularity and cultural significance of Akira Toriyama's creation. Despite Toriyama's recent passing, his legacy lives on, and the theme park aims to celebrate his work by offering fans a chance to step into the fantastical world he created. While an opening date for the theme park has not been disclosed, construction is expected to begin soon, promising an exciting destination for Dragon Ball enthusiasts from around the world. It seems that Grinding Gear Games has made the decision to delay the beta release of Path of Exile 2, which was originally scheduled for this summer. This announcement was part of a series of updates shared during a lengthy showcase event held by the developer. In addition to the news about the beta delay, Grinding Gear Games revealed that the Ranger class from the original Path of Exile will be available in the sequel. Furthermore, details about the next expansion for the original game, titled Necropolis, were unveiled, with a release date set for March 29th. Last summer, the studio had announced plans to commence a closed beta test for Path of Exile 2 on June 7th, 2024. At that time, the game director expressed confidence in meeting the announced date. However, it appears that circumstances have led to a change in plans, resulting in the delay of the beta release. Wizards of the Coast has chosen to celebrate the 50th anniversary of Dungeons & Dragons in a grand manner, with a variety of exciting announcements and products unveiled at GaryCon 16 in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, the hometown of D&D, co-creator Gary Gygax. Among the celebratory offerings are tie-in products like fashion wear, including Converse sneakers and Hawaiian shirts by Rain Spooner, as well as a partnership with Lego for D and D-themed sets. However, it's the new gaming-centric books from Wizards of the Coast that truly steal the spotlight. During a press-only presentation at GaryCon, Wizards of the Coast representatives, including story designers Amanda Hammond, Justice Armin, Jason Tondro, and senior story designer Chris Perkins, provided detailed information about each of the new books. The standout among them is Vecna Eve of Ruin, a high-level campaign where players must thwart the Dark Lich wizard Vecna. While Vecna's origins date back to the Greyhawk setting in 1976, he gained widespread recognition more recently through the blockbuster fourth season of Netflix's Stranger Things. According to Perkins, all of the books released for D&D's 50th anniversary are deeply intertwined with the past, present, and future of Dungeons & Dragons, promising an immersive and nostalgic experience for players and fans alike. Valan Studios, known for its work on Mario Kart Live Home Circuit and the now-shut-down game Knockout City, is facing significant challenges, with a third of its staff at risk of losing their jobs. In a statement from the company's founders, Guha and Karthik Bala, it was revealed that 46 out of the current 121 team members have been notified that their positions may be impacted. This decision comes as a result of a major project being suddenly cancelled by an external partner, leading to uncertainty about the studio's ability to maintain its current size. Valen Studios plans to reorganize its staff to focus on several ongoing, unannounced projects slated for release later in 2024. Additionally, the company aims to seek new partnerships to mitigate the impact of potential layoffs. Acknowledging the challenges faced by many indie studios in the current environment, the founders expressed hope to rescind as many layoff notifications as possible, highlighting the difficult decisions ahead for the studio and its employees. The recent talk by Larian Studios boss Sven Vinke at GDC 2024 shed light on some fascinating insights into the development of Baldur's Gate 3. Perhaps the most significant revelation was that Larian Studios is moving on from Baldur's Gate 3 to work on new projects. Vinke discussed various design ideas explored during Baldur's Gate 3's development, including a concept involving multiple narrators, but ultimately settled on full-body performance capture for a more immersive experience. Vinke also mentioned the challenges faced during development, such as the impact of real-world events like the Russian invasion of Ukraine, and the need to adjust release dates to avoid conflicting with other major game launches. Additionally, it was revealed that the character Astarion was originally envisioned as a tiefling, offering an intriguing glimpse into the game's early concepts. At the same time, as we have already mentioned, it's a significant announcement that Larian Studios has officially concluded its involvement with Baldur's Gate, with director Sven Vinke revealing at GDC that the studio has abandoned its plans for DLC and won't be pursuing Baldur's Gate 4. This decision marks the end of a chapter for both Larian Studios and the beloved Baldur's Gate franchise. In response to this news, a Hasbro spokesperson praised Larian as an incredible partner and expressed pride in the success of Baldur's Gate 3. However, the spokesperson offered little insight into future plans, stating only that there are awesome D&D games in development through Hasbro Studios and licensing partners. This suggests that while Larian may be moving on from Baldur's Gate, the Dungeons & Dragons universe will continue to be explored through various gaming projects. That wraps up today's episode of Morning Martlet, where we ventured through the twists and turns of the gaming industry. And until next time, keep playing, keep dreaming, and keep listening to Morning Martlet.